Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 2.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. What you're listening to now is a very clever copy of my voice. Yesterday, I delivered a workshop for Ben Gill's TTP Academy, and I was telling the students that I use a wonderful piece of software called Descript. I produce my podcast entirely with Descript. And what I love the most is that I can correct any mistake I make. You see, Descript has a system called Overdub that clones your voice, and you can just type what you want to say and Descript will say it for you. Of course, it requires hours of training. And still, you can notice that there's something kind of weird with the way it sounds. I guess that, if the technology improves, which I'm sure it will, I will be able to produce a whole episode without me actually speaking. But that's enough about me. Let's listen to the real Frank now.
Well, Frank, thank you very much. What you just heard is a recording made automatically. I mean, of course, I had to type all the information, but it was produced by Descript, and it's a piece of software that I discovered about a year and a half ago, probably by the middle of last year, because I was looking for some solution as a way to produce my podcast that was hassle-free, that didn't imply that I had to do a lot of editing. I was using other software, and it was becoming increasingly difficult to really come down with a finished product that everybody would like. And many people have asked me if they can use this piece of software, I mean, Descript, to improve on their speaking skills. I think this is something that it's worth considering, because the possibility to record yourself, of course, you can apply a lot of filters and apply studio sound and everything, but I think it's a very good option that you might look into as a way of recording yourself and keeping a record of all your speaking. And I think when time passes and then you listen to yourself, you will be able to see how much you have improved. I think it's a very nice way of really keeping tabs on your speaking skills. I will look more into it. And if it is possible, I will probably contact the people from Descript and see in which ways people can benefit from this wonderful piece of software, because I think it's a fantastic idea. In my case, it's made my life easier in terms of producing the podcast. But of course, in terms of the students, what's in it for them? So I promise I will look into it and we'll get back to you with more news about this. For today's podcast, I asked three students to perform part two of the speaking test for C1. In this case, it's the long turn. And remember that in the long turn, you have to do a task in response to visual input. You have three pictures and you have to select two of them and talk on your own for about a minute. So in that minute, you have to produce several things that I will further explain later. But this is what we have today. Okay, so stay tuned. As I mentioned before, part two comprises some visual stimulus in which the candidate has to respond two questions. At least for C1, it has to be two questions. The interlocutor shows an individual task to each candidate with a subsequent brief response question for the other candidate. It's a kind of reaction that the other candidate should have. Basically, the input is spoken rubrics. The instructions are said to the candidate, there is some visual stimulus given in the form of a booklet with three pictures. And there's also some written input given to the candidate. In the same booklet, you will have the two questions printed. And of course, the questions will be read by the examiner. Now, when it comes to the candidate output, there are some discourse features that the candidate must show and must be able to produce effectively to get a higher mark. Of course, you can get a passing score, but the purpose of this episode is to help you get the highest score possible. So basically, the first thing that you need to remember is that you have to sustain a long turn. That means that you need to be able to speak until the minute is over. Remember that you have to continue talking until the examiner says thank you. Examiners have to keep up with the timing, and of course, they have to be quite strict about it. So don't feel bad about getting the thank you from the examiner. Also, you have to be able to manage your discourse in terms of coherence, the way you organize the language and the ideas, and also the accuracy and appropriacy of linguistic resources. That means the language that you need to use to compare and contrast the two pictures. And of course, there has to be clarity of message. Whatever you say has to make sense and it has to be clear. In terms of the functions that you have to convey, the examiners will be looking at quite a few things. Of course, you have to give information, you have to express opinions, especially in the second part, I mean the part in which you react to the other candidate's visuals. Also, you have to express opinions when you compare the two pictures. If you think that one picture is more relevant than the other, or if it's more appropriate than the other, you have to give a certain kind of opinion. Also, you have to explain and give reasons whenever you express an opinion. And the most important thing is that you have to use language for hypothesis and speculation. That means that you have to use a wide range of structures, for example, modal verbs for speculation. If you don't know what modal verbs we use for speculation, then you gotta check a grammar book that can help you with that. Because when we talk about the pictures, the questions will prompt you to draw conclusions from what you see in the pictures. And sometimes the ideas are not so clear. So you have to basically speculate about what they do, who they are, what they're talking about, how they feel, and things like that. So I think the best way to organize information is just to follow the same order in which the question is presented to you in the exam. You have to go question by question. You have to compare and contrast. The first thing that I tell my students not to do is to go over one picture, then describe or do the two questions for one picture, and then go over to the second picture and do the same. Because that will not give you all the opportunities to showcase all the different structures that you can produce. In this case, for example, the best way to go, in my opinion, is to go little by little, comparing and contrasting. So when you say one thing about one picture, go over to the second picture and do the same. I mean, just compare and contrast. Then you go back to the first picture, and if you have to move on to the second question, you gotta do the same, because that will give you more flexibility, and you can immediately compare and use vocabulary that you might see in the first picture and vocabulary that you might see in the second picture. So I think that will give you more play, more room to play with the two pictures. So the first student that I'm going to show here, I think she does a great job. Remember that all the visuals will be available in the episode description today. So don't worry if you get lost trying to follow the train of thought that she has, because she's going to be describing, comparing and contrasting the two pictures that you will be able to see and download. So let's take a listen.
In the first picture, there are two people which are climbing a mountain and in a snowy landscape, and the challenge that they might be facing are that they can fall at any time, and it's very tricky to climb a mountain, especially on snow. Whereas in the other picture, there are a few people. It looks like they are in a dance class, and they can be facing a challenge, which can be a competition or anything like that. In the first picture, they might be feeling nervous, anxious, thrilled, because they are doing what they like. I mean, you don't climb a mountain if you don't like it. And in the second picture, they might be feeling stressed because maybe the choreography, it's difficult or anything like that.
In this particular case, the student did a great job dividing all the information into 1 minute. I would say that if we get very picky. By the end, when she realized that the minute was finishing, she was rushing up to give information about the second question. But I would say that overall, she managed it really well. From the very first sentence, she started with the first picture, and then she talked about the challenge that people might face there. And then she talked about the second picture immediately, which is good because this is what I always recommend. You start answering the first question in relation to the first picture, and then you talk about the same question in relation to the second picture. So I think it's well done. And then she moved on to the second question in relation to both pictures as well. And she used language for speculation. She also used pronunciation effectively. She said, for example, climb, climbing. And remember that with the word climb, we don't pronounce the final B. That B is silent, even if you use the ing form. So she said climbing. However, there are a few things that might prevent her from getting a top five. For example, in terms of grammar, grammatical resource, she made a tiny little mistake in the beginning. Listen to this.
In the first picture, there are two people which are climbing a mountain.
And she said there are two people which are climbing a mountain. So in this case, remember that we don't say which, we say who. It's a relative pronoun. And in this case, for example, it's a mistake that we normally use which for objects and things and not really for people. I mean, in the case of people, we use who are climbing a mountain. Of course, this is a little bit of like a lapse, you know, like a slip. We might consider it a slip. But of course, these slips can cost you getting a top five, and especially because getting a top five would mean that you would get a three in proficiency. So getting all fives in speaking, it means that you have a proficiency level, at least the first stage or the first level of proficiency when you get 200 points in the speaking in this case. But of course, these things will prevent you. I mean, of course, she will get a really good score. I mean, her pronunciation is very clear. She's highly intelligible. She's a great student when it comes to pronunciation, of course. Her opinions about the situation on the snow, on the mountain, are very relevant. Take a listen to this.
They can fall at any time, and it's very tricky to climb a mountain, especially on snow.
In this case, for example, this is a personal observation. Nobody told her. I mean, this is a speculation that she makes about climbing a mountain. This question in this particular task is asking something that would usually come up in speaking exams, which is asking for emotions and feelings, how the people might be feeling. So you got to be ready for that question because it usually comes up more often than not. So you have to build up this resource, this repertoire of expressions that show emotions, that describe emotions. She did a great job. Listen to this.
In the first picture, they might be feeling nervous, anxious, thrilled because they are doing what they like.
She's using three adjectives: nervous, anxious, thrilled. And she's also giving a reason why she thinks that they're feeling that way. She says because they're doing what they like. And of course, when you do something that you like, especially if you like it that much, you might feel nervous, you might feel anxious and thrilled in a good sense. Of course, she might have extended by saying that this is something normally that people feel when they do something that they like. So, but in general, I would say that she did effectively well. In terms of production, she covered everything, she answered all the questions, and the vocabulary that she used was quite relevant. And this is the thing, I mean, this task is just asking you to go over the two questions in this prescribed time. My advice, I mean, if you want to really nail down this part, and of course, we still have two more people to listen to, but if you want to nail down this part, my suggested process of going over this is you begin by giving a general statement about both pictures and what they have in common. I think that finding things in common is not very easy, and you have to come up with that very quickly. So you mention first what they have in common in general terms, and then you start talking about the differences. So you answer the first question, you compare both pictures, then you answer the second question and you compare both pictures. If you still have time, and this is something that can happen because I've seen it happen many times with my classes and whenever we practice in class, is that students usually go over the questions so quickly that they find themselves with some good 10 or 15 seconds before the minute is over. And they have to continue talking. They have to continue producing language. It's 1 minute. And remember that one of the things that examiners will be looking into is that you can fill up that time. So my recommendation is that if you're done with all the questions, do not repeat. Repetition is penalized. Your score will go down if you repeat information. And basically because you will not be assessed on that. Whatever you repeat will, you know, examiners will not be paying attention to that. So you got to make use of that extra time that you have. And the best way to do it is just to give your opinion, what you think. Talk about a personal experience. She could have extended. Of course, she got to the minute when the minute was over. But if she had had time, she could have talked about, for example, a personal experience or something that happened to another person. A friend of mine had the same experience and this happened to her, this happened to him. The whole point of this is that you can continue producing something new, fresh, that can give you the chance to produce more language. Remember that this is a language test. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be English used effectively. So that's everything you need to know. We're going to listen to two more people and we're going to judge on the way they did. Okay, so stay tuned. This second student performed a different task. Of course, do not worry about the visuals. I will make them available in the episode description. So in this case, she did another task with different pictures. So let's take a listen to how she did.
I'm going to talk about first and second photo. In both pictures, we can see men dealing with a difficult challenge. In the first case, it's a sport there. Whereas in the second photo, we can see a man giving a speech, something that it is not easy. While the man running may be facing with nerves and the competitiveness that sport usually creates, the other man might be trying to stay calm when a lot of people is looking at him. Also, he should remember the dialogue he must follow. Both may be feeling anxious due to the situation they must face too. Nevertheless, the man in my right could be shy but proud for being given the speech or lesson, whereas the man running may be fatigued and worn out, but euphoric because of the production of endorphins.
In the case of the second student, I think she did a great job. She did something that the first student didn't do, and it was beginning with an introduction and saying which pictures she was going to talk about. She said, I'm going to talk about the first and second picture. And she continued by giving an overview about the similarities. She said that both pictures depict men dealing with a difficult challenge. I think she went really well. Of course, when I set this homework for my students, she knew that, and she prepared for this. So it's understandable that she would write down something that she would later produce. And of course, I was paying attention to the way she organized it. I think it's a very effective way to practice it. You can write down your idea so you can clearly plan what you want to say. That can give you some heads up. And of course, when you practice it, then you say it out loud. Of course, you can read it, but the idea is that you do it without reading so you can internalize the structure. Remember that this is basically the same structure. Of course, you will not be able to predict the kind of pictures you will get and, of course, the vocabulary that might be associated with those pictures, but you will be able to predict the structure, the planning. So I think it makes total sense that you can write down before recording yourself. And that's the whole point. She went over the general statement saying what both pictures had in common. Then she moved on to the first question and the challenge that they might be facing. And then she talked about the other picture, and then she went back, and then she talked about the feelings. Of course, there were some elements in terms of pronunciation that I will point out just after this, but I would say that this is a very, I would say, perfect example on how you can organize information effectively when describing, when doing part two, the long turn with the visual input. If I had to choose effective use of language, definitely I cannot leave you without listening again to this extract. Listen.
While the man running may be facing with nerves and the competitiveness that sport usually creates, the other man might be trying to stay calm when a lot of people is looking at him.
She's doing several things here. She's comparing, contrasting, she's using language for speculation, especially modal verbs for speculation. And she's also talking about the feelings. This is an incredible way in which you can combine several things in the same phrase. And it's a very highly complex phrase. Of course, she had time to prepare this. So it's understandable that she was able to produce something this good. But of course, I noticed some things. The stress on competitiveness was misplaced. And also, for example, when she said calm, I didn't hear it exactly as calm, you know, like to be relaxed and quiet. And of course, there's another basic mistake when she talked about people, when a lot of people is looking at him, when it should be plural. Of course, this will have an effect on the grammatical resource and also to pronunciation in terms of stress, the placement of stress. But in terms of discourse management and in terms of grammar complexity and variety, this is knocked out of the park, as they say in baseball. The last student that I'm going to showcase here today also prepared part two. And it's very interesting because, of course, in terms of discourse management, is also a very good example. And it also shows a lot of awareness when it comes to vocabulary, you will hear. Also because this student is quite good. In my classes, he doesn't talk much, but every time I nominate him to produce something, to participate in the class, he will always say something relevant. He is very well-spoken. He is aware of how much English he knows, and he always does a great job. I think he's a sweet person, very demanding with himself, and he always tries to do his best. So let's take a listen to what he did.
Okay, so I'm going to choose pictures 4 and 5. The first picture shows a runner covered in mud, while the second one shows a singer participating in a talent show. The main difference between both pictures is that the first man is doing an obviously more dangerous activity. They both might have entered the event to show people what they are capable of doing, or just maybe because there is a big prize pool for the winner. The first man looks very committed to winning the race, and his face shows a lot of determination. While the woman seems to be calm and chill and just singing to the audience. In my opinion, the woman seems to be in a very big scenario, so I think she's participating in the famous show Got Talent.
You can go as many times as you want and listen again to what this student produced. I think it was really clever. He started by mentioning the pictures that he was going to talk about. He said pictures 4 and 5 because this came from the course book that we were using, which is, by the way, Ready for Advanced, the book that I talked about in the first episode. And he started by mentioning the first picture, what it shows, and of course, what the main difference was. He then continued with the first question. And what I liked about him was that he globalized. I mean, he put them together and he gave the same reason for both pictures. He said that there was, might be, I mean, the possibility, just maybe because there's a big prize pool for the winner. By the way, fantastic word. I didn't teach him that word. I mean, he knew that word, obviously, and it was very appropriate for this. So I'm very happy that he said that. Also, he used grammar effectively. He said the first man looks very committed to winning. Remember that committed to, that to is a preposition. So we use an ing form. We don't say committed to win. We say committed to winning the race. Amazingly well. I mean, I think this is the kind of level that I would expect from a C1 advanced student. And he also talked about the woman in the picture. She seemed to be singing. He also talked about how she might be feeling. I mean, she seems to be calm and chilled and singing to the audience. And then he had time to give an opinion. I think this was fantastic. I mean, you should be writing down what he said. Take your notebook and you can write down everything he said. And, you know, try to imitate him, because I think this is a great example. He made a mistake, though, when he talked about in the very beginning, when he talked about the man he was covered in. He said mood, but it's actually mud. I know that the word has a U, but we pronounce it as an A, mud. It's a slip. I mean, I think that the whole task, I think it was performed really well. But of course, he had the tiny slip, and it wouldn't probably affect the overall mark. I think he would get a really, really high score in this task. So thank you very much for sticking by and for listening to my podcast. This is the end of the episode, of course, but I don't want to go without telling you that I'm still waiting for your recordings, baby. I know that there are a lot of people out there that would like to get their feedback, and I'm open to give feedback on speaking skills. I mean, depending on what you want to do, if you want to have an interview with me, just a conversation, a chat, we talk to each other, and then you tell me about your life and dreams about the future, or we can just perform a speaking test, whether, you know, for C1 or C2. Normally, my listeners would be in that range, I mean, between C1 and C2. If you have a speaking buddy, a speaking partner, and you want to get tested, I mean, you want to go over the mock exam, the speaking, I'm available. Remember that the email is podcast@languageteaching.es. Everything is in the episode description and the show description. So send an email, let me know, and I will program something. We can get together, do via Zoom, we can do a speaking, and then I can give you feedback on your speaking skills. Does that sound like something you would like to do? Of course, you know, I think you would get the opportunity to learn not only from me, but you can also learn from each other. I mean, I think it's a great experience that you can have. And also, you can ask your questions. Remember that this season, I will not only devote the podcast to speaking skills, I would also try to cover other areas, you know, vocabulary, pretty much like what I did with the mini casts during the summer. I think there's a lot more material that you can use including your speaking skills every time you use language. So thank you very, very much. And until next week, bye-bye.